This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Good morning. On Tuesday, the Slow Money Vermont Network will launch in Montpelier. And the concept of slow money was pioneered by our guest, Woody Tash. He's also the author of Inquiries into the Nature of Slow Money, Investing as if Food, Farms, and Fertility Mattered. He joins us now on the line. And Woody Tash, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Mitch. Thanks for having me.
So in a nutshell, for folks who are not familiar with the term, and I have to admit I am one of them, what is slow money?
It's really very simple when you just get down to it. It's groups of people collaborating with one another to invest in small food businesses near where they live.
That is very simple. Thank you for putting it in a nutshell. Absolutely. How closely associated is this with, or is it at all, with the slow food movement?
Well, thank you for asking that. You know, we have we hug a lot. You know, we share a lot with the slow food folks. The name Slow Money obviously was inspired by slow food. Slow food internationally is a beautiful, there are something like 100,000 members internationally, and it's a beautiful movement to support small food producers all over the world. We've been talking about something called patient capital for quite a while in some of our investment circles, and when I went to Italy and met the slow food people, I realized, oh my God, patient capital, it's really slow money.
What are some concrete examples you can point to, some successful slow money investments that you can use as examples?
Well, actually, Vermont Smoke and Cure is an interesting example. A number of people who are very active in the early stages of slow money provided the early capital for Vermont Smoke and Cure. But it's everything from a few thousand dollars. This is really important for people to hear, meaning almost like microloans. So it could be one or two people collaborating to put a few thousand dollars, let's say, to help a farmer build a hoop house, all the way up to angel investing. So investing that goes on in the hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars. Most of it is towards the lower end. Most of it is a lot of small people just collaborating together to do things like help someone buy, let's say, a cold storage truck. Or put up a hoop house, you know, very small infrastructure things. And then in the middle, there are things like refinancing a co-op in North Carolina. The market in North Carolina was Chatham Market. Maybe I'll say one more word about that. It's really kind of an interesting example. To me, it's kind of the sweet spot of slow money in a sense. There was a food co-op there that was several years old, had a bank loan at around 8%. And 16 members of the community got together and each put $25,000 in. These were all members of the co-op and refinanced it at, I think, 3.5%. And so they saved the co-op a lot of money. They got to put the money to work and get a return they couldn't get in the bank, et cetera, et cetera. So,
you know, so the idea here really is to try to keep as many businesses, farms, what have you, that are bringing local food to people, that they stay local and that the food stays within the community so that you're not trucking it in from way, way away. Is that basically right?
Correct. If you zoom back from this, you're sort of asking the why. Like, why is this important from a food system standpoint? And that's a whole other big topic. There are two parts to this. There's the food part and the money part. So from the food part, you know, I think it depends on just how much people want to hear about what's going on in the food system, but there are some very serious structural problems in the food system. Food miles, you know, the distance food is shipped is only one of them, and that sometimes gets the lead story among foodies, but there's you know, chemicals, there's organic matter in the soil, there's keeping water in the ground, not over-pumping the aquifers, and last but certainly not least is carbon in the atmosphere. Actually, I shouldn't say that, but maybe the last and not least thing is obesity and diabetes and all the problems that come from the industrial food system. So for all of these reasons, increasing the amount of food that's produced close to where we live, having more small farms, a larger number of small diversified units, I kind of like to say that again, a large number of small diversified units, because to me that's what we need in the whole economy. You know, everything is going towards a small number of large, very complicated things. And I think most people's common sense tells them that that's not such a great, you know, we don't want to put all our eggs in that basket.
You know, you're singing a tune that a lot of Vermonters are going to like the sound of. And I just wonder why it's taken so long to get a chapter up and running in Vermont, where certainly the slow food movement, for example, has been quite popular.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. It's counterintuitive and intriguing to me. Some of the very first people who were active in the slow money discussions were, you know, Tom Stearns from Hardwick and Heimoing Organic Seeds and Eric Becker, who's still very active, is with Clean Yield. It was almost like, you know, Vermont didn't need slow money. You know, it was already doing it. And now that slow money is kind of gaining a little bit of visibility nationally, and the brand, if I can say that, means a little something, and there are thousands of people around the country doing it, I think the folks in Vermont realized, you know what, we really should be part of this. It'd be fun. There is something going on here that's larger than just what's going on in Vermont, and we should be part of it.
I'm curious about that example you gave before about North Carolina, and you said some investors got together and they, you know, put $25,000 each in and got that interest payment way down. But some people may hear that and think, well, you know, that's a lot of money. I don't have that kind of money. I mean, is this the kind of thing that people are going to look at as being, well, that's for the elite. That's for folks who have a lot of money to throw around.
No, that's really important to highlight that again. I want everybody to hear this. A lot of the deals are very small. They're just a few thousand dollars. It could be two people each putting $1,000 into something. So from an investment standpoint, very, very small. But to your point, we are talking about investing. So it is for people who have money to do something with. Now, having said that, we are introducing something called Bitcoin, and it'll just be a way for people to chip in as little as $25. So stay tuned for that. But the big point is here, we are trying to make this as participatory and democratic as possible, as non-fiduciary as possible. This is not about a small number of people with a lot of money doing something. It's about a lot of people doing a little.
Woody Tash is the founder and chairman of Slow Money and the author of Inquiries into the Nature of Slow Money, Investing as if Food, Farms, and Fertility Mattered. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Mitch.